Anytime you do this strategic planning, you should start with who is trying to put us out of business. They may be small, they may be different, but their objective is to put you out of business, and that's where you should start. I actually welcome disruption. It makes you get better at what you're doing. It stops you being lazy in a whole range of things. And you mentioned Purple Brick's entry into the marketplace. They have one great success in their model, which is the transparency of their transaction. And with the new, what I call the new Uber generation, they demand transparency. So the mystique of our transaction, we have to remove that mystique, become more transparent, and engage with today's consumer the way they want to be engaged with. And you only have to look at the boom in online shopping, the boom in chat rooms, the boom in internet communications, exactly as what we're doing now. This is the way people want to be communicated to.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology, and more to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.
Hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. As you all know, a couple of weeks ago, we were at NAR in Boston, but we weren't the only Aussies there. There was a rather large group of top performers from First National Real Estate, along with Group CEO Ray Ellis. I caught up with Ray after the conference to compare notes on the conference itself, the expo, trends he was seeing overseas, and what we might see in 2019 closer to home. In this podcast, Ray makes a few bold predictions. The election date, as hinted in the news this week, looks to be pretty spot on. Time will tell if a couple of the others are. We also cover Ray's views on disruption and disruptors such as Purple Bricks, the lessons Australia's real estate industry can learn from the National Association of Realtors themselves, plus how he is thinking about future-proofing First National, taking into account the global trend towards personalisation.
So welcome to the podcast, Ray Ellis.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
And it was great to catch up with you in the US at NAR, albeit briefly, and great to see some more Aussies over there flying the flag in amongst, 20,000 other real estate agents from around the world.
Well, anytime real estate agents get together, it's always a good time to both learn and socialise, so I'm glad you're able to participate this year.
So there was a big contingent from First National there.
First National has been very fortunate. We've had a long relationship with the National Association of Realtors, both at a committee level and an operational level. We've gone to most conventions for the past 5, 6, or 7 years. And the past 2 years, we now take our top 10 salespeople and our top 10 officers. Now, obviously, that's a reward for their efforts, but more importantly, it gives them an opportunity to, I'm reluctant to say mixed with the best because we do things very well here in Australia, but the National Association of Realtors is more than just an American convention. It's a worldwide event. And as you would have seen, every country is represented in varying degrees. We're just fortunate the largest contingent from Australia and New Zealand is the First National Network. So for the opportunity for our top people to be there, to experience something of that size, to have the opportunity to learn, to have a trip to America, but more importantly, to spend time with their fellow First National members is the keystone of what the event is for us. And I must say, without a moment's hesitation, this year's event in Boston was very, very successful.
Who of First National went?
Well, our top 10 salespeople came from Port Hedland, Perth, Melbourne, Sydney, Newcastle, Brisbane, Mildura, a whole representative from around the country, and that reflects the strength of their expertise in our local area. But then you add to the success of their office, that meant the best of the best in First National.
You've just rattled off some suburbs there that all types of markets there, everything from Port Hedland over in Perth to Victoria. And I guess it's interesting that you've got top performers from the network and it doesn't matter what market they're in, they've all performed well in their given area.
Well, that's the beauty of real estate. Regardless of market conditions, good performers do well. Because as you know, real estate is about pent-up demand. It's about downsizing, upsizing, change, job location, transfers. That goes on regardless of market conditions. That goes on regardless of economic conditions. And the good agencies are able to cope with that. And that's what the First National people are able to do. And that's what their success. And they got rewarded in NAR Boston.
Yeah, absolutely. And Boston is a great town. And I mean, look, I experienced NAR for the first time and I found it difficult to get around to everything. What about you? It was so many sessions.
Well, that's it. I think there's in excess of 200 sessions put on by great people throughout North America and the world. And I need to say probably a third of them aren't completely relevant to Australia. I don't think we need to learn how to deal with Hispanics in Southern America. That's a great demand for us. But at the same time, there's succession planning, there's coping with social media, bring on a next generation, how to increase listings. And that's a universal language in our marketplace. And so the sessions were well received, well put on, and very well organized. Because as you can imagine, you saw for the first time, the logistics of putting something on this size requires great effort. And we at First National, we've been very fortunate. We've been available to be part of the hierarchy, not necessarily the organizing committee, but of what sessions. And I myself have had the opportunity to speak at a number of sessions now, all those sorts of things. So it really gives you a chance to sit next to someone. I've sat in sessions next to someone from Waco in Texas who sells 300 properties a year in a town of 2,000. So that lady was a great sales lady. And then someone from New York who sells 5 properties a year but with a value of $40 million each of them. So you certainly get the gamut from one to the other. And the great thing about Americans is they have a great desire to share what they consider the American dream, the American lifestyle, the American democracy, and they want you to succeed. And so their willingness just to say, hey, you've come all the way from Australia. That is fantastic. Come and join me for coffee, for lunch. Let me tell you what we do here. And also they have a great desire to learn from us as well.
Were there any trends that you saw?
The trends I see, as you're aware, most people listening to the podcast, America is divided into two distinct areas, the listing agent and the selling agent. And they have no comprehension of how we can do both. So the trends there is, there's a merger of those two skills coming together, and that's driven by the internet. It's driven by their distribution companies that are similar to realestate.com here in Australia, and how they're coping with that is very, very interesting. That's a dynamic to change the industry. And I remember I mentioned with the Zillia people to what they're doing with automated leads or whatever. That was tremendous from our organization, and that fits into what we're doing something there. And then also it's always interesting to see how they cope with the political side, because the NAR lobby group is one of the most powerful lobby groups in America, and their direct access to all areas of government is something they value and take great pride in, of what they're able to do to lobby for their industry. Mm. And the fact that it's a unified industry gives them one big advantage, was in Australia we're driven into state institutes. And the quicker we become a unified industry at the REIA level will mean we'll have greater access to the politicians to look after our industry. Because I know in America, speaking to my colleagues there, the taxation rebates and the capital gain layover, how they're able to modify that over a number of years, that's being attacked because it's in the trillions of dollars. And the power of their lobby has been able to stop that and modify some of that legislation. And if we can copy that model here in Australia, we'll have the same success with our politicians, be it at state or federal level.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I got a number of 1.3 million realtors who pay $1,000 in fees per year just to be a realtor. And that number alone adds up to a lot of political clout for sure.
100%. And like I said, their levies are between sort of $900 to $1,200, depending on what state you're in, and then it's driven down to the local chapters, all that sort of stuff. So the national body is getting about $230, the state body is getting about $400, and the rest is going to the local area there. A local area there is big numbers, and you would have seen that from the opening presentation of the outgoing president from Missouri, who was able to change state legislation in 12 months to protect her industry. The fact that she listed that as a major achievement, she should be very proud of that, because in that state, what was going to happen to taxation there was going to destroy our industry. She stood up and she solved the problem.
What do you think we need to do in Australia to get to that place?
Exactly what I said before. We have strong state institutes and they must combine in the true sense of the word to become a national body. That means our pathway to professionalism will be better. It means our pathway to be unified to speak to the federal governments will be stronger. And it's a difficult situation because most legislation in our country is state government legislation in relation to property. So we need strong state institutes, especially the federal government, picking a whole number of areas with our election coming up next year with negative gearing as a topic. I know the REI have a strong campaign ready to go. We have to become a stronger lobby group in Australia because we're a big industry. The real estate industry is the biggest industry in Australia. It far exceeds mining. It's how most Australians make their wealth. It's how most Australians make their capital. It's how most Australians live or whatever. And so for us not to be unified to put this case forward to the federal government is an indictment on us. We must become stronger at it.
Do you think that the real estate institutes themselves as state-based entities have enough support?
I think they do, but then they battle with the regulators in each state. And I'm a home state of Victoria here. It's very difficult sometimes to get the regulators to even speak to us as an industry. They have a closed mind sometimes. It may be controversial, but it's a fact. And what regulators forget is real estate agents provide Australians dreams in their home.
Let's talk a little bit about the global market, as in we're seeing a bit of a slowdown here in Australia. Overseas, are you seeing any trends in the market, particularly in the USA, that might apply to here? Some people are saying that what's happening in Canada might be reflective of Australia a little bit. What are your thoughts on that?
It's always hard to add overseas trends to Australia. What drives the Australian market is Australians' fascination with property. It's hard for myself to go to a barbecue, a dinner party or event where the first question isn't, what's the state of the market? Should I sell now? Is the right time or whatever? So that demand, that insatiable demand for interest in property makes overseas trends very hard to predict here. And the majority of Australians want to own a property and live in or invest, whereas in Canada and the US, the majority are very happy to rent and actually ignore the property market as an investment vehicle. That's the hardest things about the true tens, particularly what you said about Canada. And the American model, the way they finance their mortgages and the way that the mortgage repayments are a tax deduction, all those sorts of things make it very difficult. Because those economic factors drive that cycle there. I mean, there's always trends here that our market's going to crash by a huge percentage based on overseas trends. Our correction terms are never as severe as what people think they're going to be because of that pent-up demand. The interesting point for us for overseas trends now is I was speaking with some agents at NAR about the oncoming Brexit in the UK. That just creates uncertainty because their market was flooded in recent years by Europeans investing in the UK because it's the same investing in their own country. They're now nervous about what Brexit means to them. But then again, we live in a capitalist society, thankfully. Sometimes one person's slight misfortune of the property going down a bit, someone else snaps it up and buys it. And that's what happens in Australia and that's what will happen in the UK.
Speaking of the UK, there was an export from the UK that landed here and now the Americans are dealing with them as well, and that's purple bricks. And I guess the reaction that I saw from some agents in the US about purple bricks' entry was similar to ours, that traditional agents are not in favour of that model. Was there anything that you picked up about some of the disruptors that were hitting the market, whether purple bricks or otherwise?
It's an interesting discussion and probably a session for a whole other podcast, because disruptors in any industry, and I've worked in many industries prior to being the CEO of First National, always exist. And any time you do the strategic planning, you should start with who is trying to put us out of business. They may be small, they may be different, but their objective is to put you out of business, and that's where you should start. I actually welcome disruption. It makes you get better at what you're doing. It stops you being lazy in a whole range of things. And you mentioned Purple Brick's entry into the marketplace. They have one great success in their model, which is the transparency of their transaction. And with the new, what I call the new Uber generation, they demand transparency. So the mystique of our transaction, we have to remove that mystique, become more transparent and engage with today's consumer the way they want to be engaged with. And you only have to look at the boom in online shopping, the boom in chat rooms, the boom in internet communications, exactly as what we're doing now. This is the way people want to be communicated to. We can ignore, we can criticize what is labeled as disruptors in our industry, but we can also learn from what makes them successful. And I know at First National, I've spent a lot of time studying these disruptors, and the transparency around their transaction is the key to success. That's why Uber was successful. You can watch on your phone where the little car is. You're in control that it's coming down that street. It's 5 minutes away. You weren't in the dark by a taxi company. So there'll always be disruptors. There'll always be someone trying to put out your business. I tend not to worry about them because my job is to run First National, not them. But I love to learn what they're doing well so we can adapt and be better than them. In the States, it's been such a closed market for a long time in the way they have their multi-listing, the way they have their buyer and their selling agent or whatever. It's ripe for disruption, but they can't just sit back and say, this is the way we've always done it. Otherwise, they need to look at Blockbuster Video or Kodak. He is now, because they're going out of business. That's a whole real estate play, all those sorts of things. So what were strong, dynamic companies only a few years ago now no longer exist. And I know on my watch, that won't happen to First National, and I just implore our industry to become unified so it doesn't happen to our industry as well.
Speaking of technology, we've talked about some of the sessions that were at NAR, but the expo was again, on another level, I thought, to anything I've seen anywhere else, with over 500 exhibitors, and there was artificial intelligence everywhere. There was different technology everywhere, lead generators, I mean, you name it, puppies, which was, another thing in itself.
Go and cuddle a puppy?
Yeah, we did go and cuddle a puppy, actually.
It was very popular. I had to get three of my staff out of there after an hour. They love cuddling the puppies.
They were pretty cute. But I guess back to technology for a moment, was there anything that caught your eye in the expo?
All technology does is put you in front of more people. We are a relationship business. And while someone is happy to buy a $100 pair of shoes online, a $200 dress, a bookcase or something like that, the chance of them entirely involving their sale or their purchase house online without a relationship is highly unlikely. That's my opinion. So you mentioned the artificial intelligence, and I'd hate to be an American because it just on that alone, there was a minimum of 32 booths that I saw before. So everyone's better than the other, but they're all the same, all those sorts of things. What they're proposing is that to build the relationship, this app, this program will take the pain of it away from you. I disagree with that philosophy. They will help you build the relationship. It won't be the soothsayer to all your problems or whatever. But if you're not using it well, because all that does is put you in contact with more people, and then you add your relationship skills onto it. And that's the message I give our officers. Embrace this technology, love it, use it, pound it as much as you can, and then add your relationship skills on top of it, and you will destroy your competition in the local market. I mean, there's an organization there called Winehart. I don't know if you've spent some time with them. And I'm very interested in their model because they provide a whole range of add-on features to be able to do something. And that's probably about 12 months behind something we're doing here at First National in 2019. But it was great to see the way they're developing it. And those artificial intelligence companies in the States, and they're all driven by someone who's 35 or less, which is fantastic. The world should always be at the young because they've got to create their own future. But they have such great faith in that the technology will provide the relationship. I think that's a flawed strategy. The technology will provide the platform, the relationship. And that's what I learned most about the technology at this time in the States.
What about some of the other innovative companies in the US, like Compass, eXp Realty? They've all got different variations on what they're doing. Is there anyone in particular that you're going to keep an eye on now that we're back in Australia?
We've always had a strong relationship with what was Prudential Real Estate. They've now merged into Berkshire Hathaway. And I spent a lot of time with the Keeler Williams model. And that's very interesting. And I try and adapt a lot of things to here to what we do. Because, again, I spoke about the relationships outside our industry and dealing with our vendors and our customers. And I think it's the same thing inside. Because it can be a lonely world out there in real estate. Sometimes you're running the business. You're supposed to be the expert on everything. And you're trying to list and sell, you're trying to hire, you're trying to make a valuation of which artificial intelligence system to use, and nobody has that expertise. First National, and a lot of stuff we've learned from Keeler Williams, is that we can be that home for that to help you to do those sorts of things. So I found always opportunity to catch up with their management fascinating. And it's like everything in America, as we discussed before offline. I used to live and work in America, and probably three quarters of my best friends still work there. And I still sit on a couple of boards of companies over there. So their desire for enthusiasm, their desire for innovativeness, I find absolutely enthralling, and it's in contrast with their desire to keep things as they are. It's a great paradox of what happens in American business, but the Keeler Williams model I find very satisfying.
Yeah, well, I think Keeler Williams has always been a fascinating brand, I think, from a whole bunch of levels, and particularly now what they're doing with Keller Cloud. I think they own some other brands' data now in purchasing that, so that will be very interesting to watch as that unfolds over the coming year. Speaking of which, the coming year, 2019, can you believe that it's 4 weeks till Christmas?
Santa comes very quickly.
He does. What predictions have you got for 2019 for real estate in Australia?
Well, the biggest prediction is going to be the federal election. We as an industry have a massive campaign to protect negative gearing. You know, the last election when it came up, I spent an exorbitant amount of time with what was the opposition then and still the opposition now about their model of how they don't believe the removal of negative gearing will affect the market. And there's one flaw in their model. They believe that the same amount of investment activity will occur by investors regardless whether negative gearing is in place or not. And that is just blatantly incorrect. It doesn't matter whether investors desert the market by 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40%. There will be a percentage that will desert the market. Investors in Australia are not rich people. If you go to any First National office around the country, if our rent rolls 400, 500 people, 98% of them are Darby and Joan from the suburbs that are dependent upon their cheque to come in every week to help pay for their rental property. Remove the taxation advantage for that, they will sell. They have an influx of property on the market in areas where we don't need it. But more importantly, it'll reduce the amount of rental properties available in Australia at a time when the demand for public housing has already exceeded supply. But the other thing for our industry is that Australians have got used to record low interest rates. They haven't been this level since 1964. They may have been around for 2 or 3 years, and Australians have factored interest rates into their, not their real estate spending, but their consumer spending. And there will be an interest rate rise, whether that's a couple of points or whatever. That'll send shock alarms, because we're in a world of sensational media, apart from Elite Agent who just report the facts. And
breaking news.
Breaking news. So I can see the headlines now when the interest rates go up by 0.25%. It'll be Australian slug, mortgage pain, all those sorts of things. That's just the things in life we have to cope with. That's not rich, poor or wealthy or non-wealthy. That's just the facts of life coping with. So negative gear in the election campaign, interest rates and when their rise happens, and also, prices are coming off in the major cities of Sydney and Melbourne. It's the exact opposite in Hobart, Adelaide and Perth. Southeast Queensland's coming out a bit stronger than normal. Regional North Queensland is still suffering hard a bit. So the Australian market, there's no such thing as the one Australian market, because investment capital goes around. I would simply say 2019, which are the things I outlined before, will be a challenging year for us. But business is not meant to be easy. Challenges are what make things exciting. I know we're gearing up for it in First National. I know I'm helping a number of our national bodies gear up for the election campaign or whatever. So I would always say I'm looking forward to next year. It's going to be great and bigger and better than the year before. Just work harder and you'll be very successful.
Bring it on. Thank you very much, Ray. It's been a pleasure spending time with you this morning, and all the best for a wonderful 2019.
Thank you. And to you and all your team there, have a great, happy Christmas. I hope you spend the time with your family, your loved ones. And I wish the Lead Agent all very success next year. Thank you very much.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.